My Savior has my treasure, and He will walk with me. What a wonderful thing it is to walk through this life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for being here this morning to glorify Him and to increase that intimacy in your walk with Christ. We'll be talking about abiding in Him this morning in just a moment. But if you're visiting with us here, we're glad that you could be here to honor the God of heaven. It is our goal to do exactly that by worshiping Him in the way that He's asked us to, with the enthusiasm that He wants us to have, and to encourage one another in our great and precious faith. As I said, the title of the lesson this morning is Abiding in Christ, the Essence of Endurance. Here at Eastside this year, our theme has been Running with Endurance, Looking unto Jesus. And of course, this lesson will go right in line with some of the other lessons we've had and looking at this great and grand theme. But our life is described by Jesus Himself as abiding in Him. If you abide in me, He says. To abide means to not depart, to be held and kept continually, to endure, to remain, to survive, to stay, to live and not perish. All of those are definitions of the word abide. And then I even checked dictionary.com, you know, the official source of all language, right? And under abide, it said to remain, to continue to stay, to have one's abode, to dwell, to reside. And then interestingly, as a verb with an object, it defines the word abide in this way: to endure, to sustain, to withstand without yielding or submitting. When we're talking about abiding, we're talking about keeping on in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're talking about being able to endure all that we must because we are with Him and He is with us. Abiding in Christ, then, is the essence of endurance. Our intimate relationship with Him compels us, really, to walk as He walked, to keep His Word within us, to avoid sin at all costs, to love one another with all of our hearts, to love God even more so. Abiding in Him, our affections will not be centered on the things of this world, but will be posited in God Himself, and we will have confidence in the end when the Lord comes, because we will have endured. We will have endured. So I'm going to be looking this morning particularly at the epistle of 1 John and looking at what it has to say to us, and it says a lot to us about abiding in Christ, what it involves, and what motivates it. To abide in Him, we must walk as He walked. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, he who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. And of course, He walked in the light. In fact, He is the light, isn't He? And wherever He goes is light. That is His nature. That is His way. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, the familiar passage. This is the message which we heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to see what's said in this passage here about being in Christ and in a relationship with Him. Walking in the light, going where He goes in the light. And when we do that, we have fellowship, John declares, not only with Him, but with one another. What is fellowship? What is fellowship? It's this marvelous spiritual relationship that we have. And we have it because we're walking with Jesus in the light. We have it with one another. We have it with Him. We have it with our Heavenly Father. Walking in the light. Walking as He walked. If you want to know the difference between abiding in God and not abiding in God. Try taking a drive somewhere out in the country at midnight without your headlights on. I can virtually assure you it will not go well. We are not designed as human beings to operate very well in the darkness. Jesus says those who walk in the dark, they stumble. They don't know where they're going. They're going to fall. Walking with Jesus, if it is walking in the light, and that's what the text says, is driving with our headlights on. We can see where we're going. We can see obstacles in the road. We can change directions as needed as we're following Him. If we're not walking in the light with Him, we're in danger, the danger of the darkness. There are creatures that I think some of us admire who are able to manipulate pretty well in the darkness. You know, bats are kind of amazing. Katie and I were driving away from the venue where Shay and Lydia's wedding was the other night, and a bat just flew out right in front of us. And, you know, you don't see those very often. And go, ooh, bat, you know. It doesn't need our car lights to do what it's doing. Or a cat. We have a cat. Several of you had cats, and they're just amazing. I got up last night and trying to walk through my house in the pitch darkness to get a drink in the kitchen, which requires, you know, about 27 steps, I think. And the thing is, as you walk through our living room, we have this coffee table. And those of you who've been to our house, and there's a coffee table. It's a carved, you know, Oriental-type coffee table. My dad bought it, and we inherited it. So you've got this coffee table. Usually, it's in the middle of the room. But if the grandkids have been over, it's pushed out of the middle of the room up against where the television is. So when I'm walking, I never remember where that thing is. And last night, I stubbed my toe on it, of course. Probably lucky I didn't break it. All of that to say, something that we can relate to. We don't operate very well in darkness. What does it mean then that if we abide in Him, we walk as He walked? Well, we're walking in the light. We can see where we're going because He has illuminated it with His life and with His Word. And I know that as long as I'm walking with Him, there won't be any unseen obstacles. Direction will be clear because I'm abiding in Him. And that involves then walking according to His commandments. Go back to the statement in 1 John 2 and verse 6, but let's back up a couple of verses. 1 John 2 verses 4 and 5 now. John says, "He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him." By what we know that we are in Him? By following His word. Right? And then, the next statement, which we've already focused on, the very next statement is, "He who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk just as He walked." How do you do that? You follow His word. You follow His word. That's what John is plainly telling us. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, he says that he who keeps His commandments abides in Him. And he in him. So there's this mutual fellowship, abiding in one another. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit that He's given us. The Spirit that He's given us, among other things, has revealed this word to us. The word that we're to be keeping. And we are keeping if we're in Him and abiding in Him. What's the importance of knowing the commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What's the importance of it? If you don't know them, you cannot be in Him. You can't walk with Him. And so when we spend time here at Eastside in in-depth study of God's Word like we're doing in the classes, and once in a while in a sermon I might actually get in-depth in something, not very often, but that can happen too. And as we read our Bible readings at home, and meditate on what's being said in the text of Scripture. We're getting His Word in us, but when we're getting His Word in us, we're getting Him in us. there are so many people in this world, friends and brethren, there are so many people in this world who talk about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, walking with Him, and do not know the first thing about what His Word says. I mean, as one friend of mine used to say in East Texas, they don't know if Jesus was shot or crucified. They just really don't know. We went around yesterday, several of us knocking doors and asking people to study the Bible. And I was happy to hear several say, well, I study the Bible all the time. I read the Bible all the time. And that's a nice response. And you encourage them to do that. But I had several people tell me, I'm not interested in that. I had one lady tell me that, no, she didn't want to study the Bible because her beliefs are different. She's a lot more open-minded. And I shook my head and said, open-minded? Well, if you're open-minded, wouldn't you be open-minded to what the Bible has to say too? And that seemed like a foreign idea to her. But my point right here is, the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, keeping the Word of God, is vital to our abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ, as the essence endurance, means that His Word abides in us then, to take this a step further. The Word of God abides in those who abide in Him, even in the face of the onslaughts of Satan. I want you to go, as we're looking in 1 John chapter 2, notice this really lovely section, starting in verse 12. It's written sort of as a poem, if you will, in the original. And some of you in your versions of the Bible will have it set off that way, as if it's poetry. But John says in 1 John 2 and verse 12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you've known Him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who's from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. I want you to see what John is doing here. It's not apparent, maybe, at the first read-through or two of this section of text, but I want you to see what he's doing here. In the epistle of 1 John, he's wanting to give Christians confidence that they have a real relationship with the Son of God. And he's writing now to those who are spiritually children and spiritually young men and spiritually fathers. In other words, different levels of spiritual maturity. And what he says in the essence, at the core of it, to each group, whether you're a newborn Christian, whether you've been a Christian for a while, but you've still got a lot of growing to do, or whether you've been Christians like some of you sitting here for, 70 years. That's not an exaggeration. Doesn't matter. What you can do is you can look at your relationship with God from the day you became a Christian to right now. And you can know that He'll be with you. And you can be with Him. The children, the newborn Christians, they know their sins are forgiven. Every child of God who comes up out of the waters of baptism, they feel this great euphoria, this great joy. This weight of sin is lifted. They know that that happened. And John is saying to the young Christians, he's saying, you remember that. You remember that you came into Christ that way. And you have this relationship with Christ. And to the fathers, the older ones in the faith, he says, you've known Him who's from the beginning, and you knew Him at the beginning. In other words, from the time they became Christians until the time they became mature Christians, the Lord's been with them all the way. And they've been like this. And just look at that. And that gives you confidence. But I want you to notice especially what he says to the young men. Those who are in the process of growth, somewhere between being babes in Christ and being fully mature. Notice again what he says. As in verse 14, I've written to you, young men, because you're strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. I think those three statements are very well related. The strength of a child of God who's growing. and he's growing because the Word of God abides in him. And because he's growing and the Word of God abides in him, he is capable of overcoming the wicked one. And he can thus be very assured of his abiding relationship with Christ. Here's what happens to us. We begin as Christians, as we grow in Christ, to be tempted, to suffer trials. Things get hard. Things get hard spiritually. Things get hard in relationships with others. And the devil wants you to think, no, you can't do that. You're not going to be able to handle this. You're not going to be able to maintain your relationship with Jesus Christ. But John's assuring these young men, oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can, and oh, yes, you have. You can have this. We get concerned. I get concerned. Parents get concerned. When the kids move up out of the house, you know, and they go away to some college somewhere, and maybe they stay away from home, they get a job somewhere out in the world, and what in the world is going to happen to them? Are they going to be able to maintain their faith? And the answer is yes, they can abide in Christ. Christ has given us all the tools, and he'll be there to help us. To abide in him, his word must abide in us. We must abide in the truth with those who have the truth. As John continues on in 1 John chapter 2, he's talking about people who whom he describes as antichrist. They were those who denied the Father and the Son. So they were a particular brand of heretics that John was trying to warn those he's writing to about. But in 1 John 2 and verse 19, talking about these antichrists, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they'd been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they may be manifest that none of them were of us. Here's when you don't abide. Here's when you're not going to abide in Christ. When you leave the truth and you leave those who have the truth and you go out somewhere else, that's when you're not going to abide in Christ. These people went out. They were enamored by some worldly doctrine. They thought they knew a lot more than they actually did know. They didn't stick with what they knew to begin with. They didn't stick with the truth of God. They didn't stick with those who had the truth of God. And they go out in the world, and guess what? They're not abiding in Christ. From their choice. In verse 24, listen to what he says. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son. Please listen to this. You knew the truth when you became a Christian. You knew who Jesus was and is. You knew that you needed forgiveness of your sins. You knew that you needed to walk with Him in this life to go to heaven. You knew that you were to be faithful unto death and He would give you a crown of life. You knew these things. Don't forget those things. You leave those things behind and you're going to ruin your relationship with Christ. If you can keep those things you knew from the beginning, alive in your heart, you'll abide in Him. You'll abide in Him. To abide in Him, we cannot live in sin. 1 John 3 now, and verse 6. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him or known Him. Verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he's been born of God. And of course, the idea of sinning there is living a life of sin. You're not going to do that if you're abiding in Christ and He in you. Now, there are a lot of religious people in the world today that say you can do that, that it's just fine to do that. You can maintain your relationship with the Son no matter how many sins you commit. That once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, I want to tell you that they haven't read 1 John very well, those who believe in once saved, always saved, or the perseverance of the saints. They just haven't looked at this book very completely. They think they have. They think they've looked at the two verses I've just read, and that just basically says, well, you know, Christian's not going to sin. But that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is, a Christian can sin however he wants to sin, however much he wants to sin, and they'll never be lost even if he does. And you're saying to me, surely nobody says that. No, surely lots of people say that. Let me read you a quote from a guy by the name of Sam Morris, who happens to be a denominational preacher of a Calvinist branch. But here's what he says. He says, we take the position that a Christian's sins do not damn his soul. The way a Christian lives, what he says, his character, his conduct, his attitude toward other people have nothing whatever to do with the salvation of his soul. All the prayers he may pray, all the Bibles he may read, all the churches he may belong to, all the services he may attend, all the sermons he may practice, all the debts he may pay, all the ordinances he may observe, all the laws he may keep, all the benevolent acts that he may perform will not make his soul one whit safer. And all the sins he may commit, from idolatry to murder, will not make his soul any more in danger. The way a man lives has nothing whatever to do with the salvation of his soul. End quote. There are people running around in this community that believe that. The devil could not have said it better. If we want to abide in Christ, I read verse 6 and I read verse 9. I left off 7 and 8. Chapter 3, 1 John 7 and 8. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. You're not abiding in Christ, living a life of sin. Jesus told the Jews in John 8, you are of your father, the devil. It is his will that you do. Don't let the devil deceive you, whether it's from this Calvinist doctrine of once saved, always saved, but a lot of times that's not how he works on you and I. He just works on you and I by getting us to ignore our sins, to say, oh, I did something that might have been not quite right there, but I'm just going to kind of pick myself and go on like nothing happened. And just pretend like I don't need to confess that. I don't need to get forgiveness for that. I don't need to straighten anything out. I'm just going to pretend like my sins don't exist. That's not abiding in Christ. Back in 1 John 1, verse 9. He says, really pretty plainly, about the remedy for sin for those who are walking in Christ and abiding in Christ. He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the scriptural remedy for the problem of sin in a Christian's life. Abiding in Christ means that we love one another. And we love one another in deep, meaningful and extensive ways, and not merely superficially. Abiding in God depends on us loving one another. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12 now. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. And then in verse 16, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So to abide in God, in Christ, we must abide in love. And the love God wants us to abide in is not just a love for Him, but it's the kind of love that He has for everyone. So 1 John will tell us in no uncertain terms that the love of God involves us loving one another in real and true ways. One who loves his brother is not going to cause his brother to stumble. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, right? We already learned that. If we're walking in the light, we've got this relationship with others who are also in the light. We're abiding all together in Christ. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. If you love me, if you love me, if I love you, we will not in any way encourage one another to sin. We will not in any way put a stumbling block before one another. In any way. Whether it's, you know, words, actions, attitudes, places we go, way we dress, whatever it might be. There is no cause for stumbling in someone who loves his brother. There's not any. And that's just a hard truth. That again, the devil would like you to ignore. I say it's a hard truth, but it's a beautiful truth. Let's go now back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. And I stayed up late nights thinking about how I was going to word this next point. So you're going to see the depth of my, you know, creative thinking here. That's a joke. We cannot love our brother while hating our brother. You cannot love your brother while hating your brother. Okay? That's John, basically, that's what he says. But a lot of Christians think they can. All kinds of brethren, they got things against, they don't like, they won't have anything to do with, won't speak to peaceably, and yet, oh, I love my brothers. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We're to love our brethren not just in word, but in deed and in truth. If we have something that they need that will be helpful to them, we give it to them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, on in the text it says, whoever has this world's goods sees his brother in need, shuts up his heart of compassion from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's show our love in our actions. And in so doing, we will abide in God and in Christ. I hope you want, to have this close and abiding relationship with my Lord and Savior until the day of eternity. It would be my greatest prayer that the moment that I slip away from this world, nothing much is going to change with my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I will have been in Him and He in me. And as I head into eternity, that won't be any different. Abiding in Him. Let's not misdirect our affections. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. There is so much in this world, so much to distract us, so much of a physical, material nature, so much that would bring us physical pleasure. Don't love this world. It's all passing away. It won't be here. Love the Lord. Love His people. Acknowledge Him as your Lord, as the Son of God. John writes in 1 John 4 and verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. You had to make that confession to become a Christian. That's a confession that you need to be aware of and probably make in some way or another virtually every day of your life. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Lord of your life. That's what you said before you were baptized. That's what needs to be the truth every day of your life. He is the Son of God. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever live a day where Jesus is not the Son of God to you. And you'll abide in Him. And if you abide in Him, You'll have confidence. You'll endure. Now, little children, abide in Him that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. 1 John 2 and verse 28. World War I must have been, perhaps was, from the standpoint of the soldiers who fought the war, the most horrific war ever fought. Millions of casualties. People lost their lives in just horrendous ways, unspeakable ways. In Central Europe, from the North Sea to Switzerland, the Allies dug long series of trenches. And they basically lived in those trenches. It was not pleasant. Much was to be endured. There were diseases and trench rats and a lack of food, cold nights, wet all the time. But most of the ones who endured and lived through World War I had this one thing in common. They knew when to stay in the trench. Because the trench was safety, as difficult as it might have been. You stuck your head up out of the trench out of curiosity, you're probably going to get blown off. Abiding in Jesus, Jesus never promised that's going to be easy. Over and over this year, we've talked about and seen in Scripture where the Christian life, there's a lot of things to be endured. Not easy. But in Him is the only safe place. The only safe place. And you get out of Him, and the devil will take you out. Abide in Him. We can do this. God's provided this wonderful place of safety. If you're not in it this morning, why not? Come to Jesus. He will save you. I'm going to sing a song. If you're ready to name the name of Jesus, or if you've wandered away and maybe you're out of the trench of safety, come to Jesus. All together we stand and while we sing.